Lord, we come to you. And we have knowledge, O God, that you are the only one who can guide us and who can lead us to the right path, to the right way, and to the way that we should go. And Lord, today, this morning, O God, as we come together as a body, as a congregation, Lord, we ask, O God, that you guide us. We ask that you lead us. We ask, O God, that you guide our paths, that we may know where to go and what to do in every situation, O God, that we encounter in our life, O God, as a Christian. And Lord, this morning, as we look at your word, as we look at your God, your mission for us, as we look at your vision for us, O God, we ask, O God, that you speak to us individually, O God. Lord God, that you speak to us as a body of Christ. Lord God, that you will lead us to the place that you want us to go. Lord, today as we look at your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to encourage us, O God, to even convict us, O God. If we need to be convicted of our, Lord, of our sins, or any things, O God, that we have not done. Lord, just commit our time together to you, asking your guidance as we look at your word. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, this year, we have a new theme for this year. Our theme for this year is based on Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. If you're familiar with that verse, it tells us that as we wait upon the Lord, as we spend time with Him, as we seek His face, as we seek His will, He will renew our strength. And how many of you believe that as we go to the last days, you know, as we are in the last days, and as we go to the last days, it's not going to be easy to become a Christian. Amen? You agree? It's not going to be easy to follow Christ and continue in the teachings of Christ because of so much evil in this world today. We need to be renewed every day in our strength. So our theme for this year is wait upon the Lord, renew our strength. We know it's something that I believe we need to do on a consistent basis. We need to do every day in order to renew our strength. We need to wait upon the Lord on a consistent, regular, daily basis. And that is what we aim to do this year as a church, as a body of Christ. We are praying, we are asking God that every day of our life we will be renewed in our strength by waiting upon the Lord, by seeking His will, by turning to Him every day of our life so that we can survive the onslaught of the enemy. And as we look at the scripture, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Well, if you look at the scripture, what the scripture is saying is, in order to be renewed, in order for our energy to be renewed, so that we can walk, and not only walk, but run, we need to wait upon the Lord. And what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? What does it mean to spend time with Him, you know, asking Him to lead us, to guide us every day. What does it mean to wait upon Him? When I look at the scripture and see the meaning of the word wait, the word wait actually means to have a divine exchange, meaning you exchange your weakness for God's strength, you exchange your knowledge, whatever, your limited knowledge with God's knowledge. In other words, you acknowledge that you can't do it by yourself. You know, when I was praying about this, when I was thinking about the future of the church, I was overwhelmed. It's like, Lord, I can't do this. You know, there are times you become discouraged and see yourself as small, as someone who cannot do it, but God says, you can do it by my strength. You need to wait upon me. You need to exchange your weakness for my strength so that you can go where I want you to go. And that's the reason why this is our theme for this year. I believe God wants us to renew our strength every day by waiting upon the Lord, by exchanging our weakness with God's strength. And I believe what this means is that God wants us to take our lives to the next level. So the key word this year is next level. And that is what we're going to, that's going to be our purpose, our goal, our theme for this year, next level. And God wants us to take our life to the next level in the following areas. First, in our commitment to God. Then second, in our faith in God. And then third, in our fruitfulness to God. And fourth, which I believe is the most important commitment that we can ever make in our life, is our relationship with God. So this is our goal for this year. That we take our lives, our church, our body, our team, our leaders, everyone, everything in this church to the next level as far as our commitment to God, as far as our relationship with God, as far as our faith in God and fruitfulness in God. So that's our dream for this year. That every one of us, everyone in the church will go or will take their life to the next level. And we cannot do it by ourselves. We need God and we need one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to ask God to help us take our lives to the next level. And so that is my challenge to you this year. As we begin the year 2020, that's why I call this our vision for the year 2020, to take our lives to the next level. And today we're going to talk about taking our lives, or taking our life to the next level as far as our commitment to God is concerned. You know, commitment is a word that many people in the world does not want to talk about. You know, the reason why so many people so many couples separate today is because they don't want to have a commitment to one another. But as far as God is concerned, God wants us to have a commitment to Him and to one another. What I am saying is, if we want to be committed to God, we're not going to be satisfied with where we are right now. How many of you are satisfied where you are right now? How many of you wants to go further? You want to do more. You want to accomplish more. You want God to use you more.
satisfied with where you are or what you have or what you accomplish, then status quo is unacceptable. You don't want to stay where you are. You want to go where God wants you to go. And that is, I believe, God wants us to do this year. God wants us to not be satisfied where we are. You know, every year, especially at the beginning of the year, everyone, you know, makes a New Year resolution. You know, everyone wants to be more healthy, you know, more established, a better job, a better health, you know, and so many other things that we want to do. Or we want to lose weight. Or we want to do this project or this thing or that thing. But you know what? 88% of Americans make New Year's resolution, but nearly 9 out of 10, okay, end up giving up their resolution after 2 months. You know, a lot of people are saying, I will do this at the beginning of the year, but after 2 months, 40% of people give up on their resolution. And most estimates suggest that as many as 97% of New Year's resolution are not kept. That is the reason why status quo is not acceptable. And there's another scripture that says status quo is not acceptable. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you know that God is always doing a new thing? And that is the promise of God's word. It is not my word, it is God's word, which says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Have you ever thought of the word new and what it means? The word new means new. I don't have to go to the dictionary to tell you what new means. Amen? We know what new means. It means the beginning of, or beginning, or the repetition of a previous act or thing, or made or become fresh. And so on and so forth. Those are some of the definition of the word new. But if you look at the picture of the word new, it means something is not going to be the same as it was. Amen. This status quo is not acceptable if it is going to be labeled as new. And the Bible says God is doing a new thing. So in our life, so status quo is not acceptable because God is doing a new thing. In our church, status quo is not acceptable because God is doing a new thing. In our community, in our state, or in our nation, and around the world, status quo is not acceptable because God is doing a new thing. So as we enter 2020, my challenge to you is to step out of the status quo and take things to the next level. So with that as our goal this year, let's go back to the word that we just heard earlier in Matthew 28. I want you to go back to Matthew 28. And let's read that once again and see what God wants us to do. What kind of commitment does God want us to have in order to go to the next level? Let me read verse 16 and 17. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You know, whenever we look at the start of the new year, as I said, we lay out plans, or we may have a vision, a goal, or a purpose, whatever you want to call it. And in this text that we read today, I want to show you four levels of commitment that I believe God wants you to be a part of. Four levels of commitment that God wants you to be a part of. And I want you to be honest with yourself and with God as you determine where you stand. And as you see yourself, I want to challenge you to do what is necessary to take you to the next level. So today, are you ready to take me to the next level? So let's look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God is saying. So what is the first level? Well, the first level, as we read in verse 17, or verse 18 and verse 19, actually, let's back up a little bit in verse 17. It says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So, as we can see, the disciples saw Jesus, and their first reaction was to worship him. They worshiped him because they saw him before their very eyes. Not only died, but rose again from the dead. So they realized that this Jesus that was with them for 3.5 years was not only the Lord, but he is the Christ. He is the risen Christ, and so they worshiped. So what does it mean for all of us? For all those disciples who are there with Jesus, and then when they see Jesus, they worship him. That is our response whenever we are touched by Jesus. It worships. And every Sunday, every time we come together, what do? We worship. And every time we come together to worship him, we experience Jesus through his word and through his presence. So whenever we go to church, whenever we come together in church, we are here to experience worship. The point is, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your response to what he did or to what he's doing in your life is worship. And as a Christian, our life is a life of worship. Do you know that everything that you do, whatever the Bible says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, let's do it for the glory of God. Everything that you do is worship. Whether you know it or not, or whether you like it or not, whatever you do, the Bible says, you do it as unto God. My point is, if you are coming to church every Sunday, doing your responsibility to come together with believers, coming together to listen to the Word of God, worshiping Jesus, you are living That is where your life as a Christian happens, when you come together and worship Jesus. And that is the basic responsibility of every Christian, to come together every Sunday or every time they have an assembly to worship Jesus. And every one of us in this church experience worship. Not only on a personal basis, but also on a corporate basis. And this is also what happened in the early church. If you remember Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And then all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with sincere and glad hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And what do we see there? Do we see everyday church? Well, they worship together, they meet together, they just don't feel they have to go somewhere. They met, they celebrated, and they experienced worship and life together as believers. And what do we call that? That's level one commitment. But let us not be satisfied with level one commitment. You know, someone said there are many SSS members in the church. How many of you are SSS members? Don't raise your hand. You know what an SSS member is? Satisfied sitting saints. You know, they just come to church every Sunday, raise their hand or worship God, read their Bible or listen to the sermon, but after that they forget everything that they learned and then come to church again next Sunday. Let us not be satisfied with level one commitment, which is coming to church, coming to worship together with all the saints, with all the believers, because that is not God's plan for you. That is just the beginning of what God wants to do in your life. So level one is living. And don't stay there. Can you say amen? Let's go to the next level. What's the next level? Level two is learning. So what is learning? In verse 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know this as a great commission. It is the call of Jesus given to all of us by His authority to go about building the kingdom of God one person, one life, one heart at a time. And we know what Jesus did when He was here. He discipled 12 people. He spent time with them, teaching them, mentoring them, you know, helping them so that they will grow into maturity. And I cannot think of a better way of discipling people the way Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He invested time. He spent time with a small group of people who are willing to give up a little of their time so that they will grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So what is the next level? After, you know, going to experience Jesus every Sunday or every week or every time we assemble, the next level is learning. So level one is living, coming together and worshiping together. And level two is learning through a small group. You know, we have a great ministry here in church. If you will just take advantage of it. You know, every Sunday we have a Sunday school. You know, even though I know most of these things, I still learn a lot from this study that we do every Sunday. Because you don't stop learning. Amen? There's so much to learn in the Word, even though you have studied that many times, you heard the teaching many times, I still have a lot to learn from God's Word. And God wants each and every one of us to be hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. In such a way that we will, you know, take every opportunity to learn from God's Word. And not only our Sunday school, we have small groups we call care groups, where we can learn to apply the Word that we learn every Sunday. You know, I learn more from interaction than just hearing from Sunday sermons. Because I can hear others' point of view, I can hear what other people are saying, or what people understand of the Word, because everyone participates in his small group. And we have men and women's and young adults, and we have a Bible study every Wednesday with our women. Actually, I attend their Bible study every Wednesday, and I learn a lot from them. That's why I want to come and join them every Wednesday, because I can learn something from them. And maybe they can learn something from me too. So my point is, don't be satisfied with living. With going to church every Sunday, learning is the next level of commitment that God wants us to be. Now let's go to the third level. Well, the third level is loving. So from what's the first phase, living, then the second phase, or the second level is learning, and then the third level is loving. Verse 20. And so teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now if you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see that Jesus talks about two kinds of relationship, or relationship. And what are those? Matthew 22 tells us these two kinds of relationship that God wants us to have. The first one is a vertical relationship, a relationship with God. And then the second one is horizontal relationship, a relationship with one another. You know, when a lawyer approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And you know what Jesus said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And we know that loving God always leads to loving your neighbor. It's not the other way around. You can only love your neighbor, you can not only love your enemies, if you love God first. Don't do it the other way. You know, many people say, you know, when I love my neighbors or love one another, then we can love God. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. To love other people, to love your enemies without the love of God. in our hearts. And in Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus showed us how that love can be illustrated or can be shown. In Matthew 25, he says, whatever you do to one of these least of my disciples, you did it to me. So whatever you do to other people, Jesus said, you have done it. What does it mean to love? It means you have to give yourself or minister to other people. So what I mean by level 3 commitment is when you begin to minister to other people. Do you know that it's not just the pastor who is called to minister? We are all called to be a minister to one another. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, part of his ministry is to meet the needs of all those people who come to him. And God wants to use your talent, your ability, your experience, even your wallet sometimes, so that you can minister to your brothers and sisters. You know, our brother Paul, you know, many times have told us, you know, what's going on in his life. You know, we can say, oh, brother, I can pray for you. But if God will speak to you and say, you know, help you, finances. Isn't that the way to show our brother that we love him or that we love God? Amen? So loving God means you are open to ministering to one another. Sometimes in the form of not only in forms of prayer, but in forms of doing something good for the sake of the brother or sister. The point is, don't stay with living. Don't stay with learning. Start to practice what we learn by loving, by being involved in the ministry of the church, by being a part of a ministry where you can serve one another, where you can serve another brother or sister, where you can practice what you have been learning from the Word. And then level 4, the next level. The next level is leading. In verse 20, if I read that verse again, the first part of that verse says, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus said, we should obey everything that he has commanded us. But there's one thing that we sometimes miss in that commandment. It says, teaching them to obey whatever I have commanded you. So Jesus not only say we should do what he commanded us, we should also teach others to do what he commanded us to do. In other words, he's saying we need to lead others not only to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but lead others into becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Our responsibility does not end with bringing them to Jesus. Actually, this is where the work begins. Our responsibility is to help them grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. He said, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men or reliable men who will be qualified to teach others also." What the Bible is saying is we have a responsibility to help someone grow in his faith. Our responsibility is not only to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but to make other disciples. And God has called each and every one of us to multiply our disciples. His plan of building his kingdom is not a matter of addition, but a matter of multiplication. So my friends, my brothers and sisters, that is our responsibility. Don't stay where you are right now. If you are on level one, if you are attending church, experiencing worship every Sunday, don't stay there. Go to the next level, which is learning. Become a part of a Bible study. Become a part of men or women's or care group or peace or young adults or whatever group you are comfortable with that you can learn and study the Word of God. If you feel these groups will not be fit for you, you can open up another Bible study where you can lead or you can be a part of, where you can grow and learn more about God. So living, learning, and then the third step or third level is loving. Become involved in the ministry of the church. Be a part of the ministry of the church where you can be used, where you can grow and learn more from the things that you have been learning from the Bible study. And then if you're doing that, don't stay there. But become a leader. By leading someone to Christ and helping them grow, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. So don't stay where you are right now. You can still grow, and you can grow to the next level. And I think that's what Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20 is saying. Don't stay where you are, but go to the next level. So my challenge for you this morning is, where are you now, as far as level is concerned? So my challenge for you today is, let's go to the next level. What do you need to go to the next level? Or who do you know so that you can invite someone to the next level of faith? For my friends, my brothers and sisters, this year, I pray that God will help each and every one of us to go to the next level. Not only in our commitment, not only in our relationship with God, not only in our fruitfulness in God, but most especially in our faith in God. And I believe this year God will grow not only our fruitfulness, but He will grow our relationship with Him. He will grow our faith in Him. And most especially, He will grow our commitment to Him this year. So let's make that promise to God this year. I know we cannot do it by by our own ability, by our own knowledge, by our own strength. But let's ask God to help us go up to the next level. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that we are still here. We are still alive. We know there's a reason why we are still here. We know there's a reason why you called us to be a part of this church. We know there's a reason why this church is still alive. We are still here, worshiping together with believers. So we know, God, that you have a purpose for us this year. And your purpose for us this year is to go to the next level. Lord, help us to wait upon the Lord this year. Lord, help us to renew our strength every day so that we can go, so that we can take our life to the next level. As far as our faith is concerned, as far as our fruitfulness to you is concerned. Lord, we thank you that you will continue to guide us every day of our lives, that we may be